So privileged to be here tonight, and it always is a privilege for me to come to little Bethlehem, come into the house of the Lord, or wherever we're at in the house of the Lord. I always enjoy it. How many of you have been thinking over the project that was made mention of today? Has anybody really seriously thought over it? I'd like for you to raise your hand if you've seriously today thought over that project. I don't hardly see how that you could have heard the man this morning plead the cause of about 1/4 of the population of the world and not have had it on your mind today. I can't quite get a hold of that. You know, the Bible speaks of giving the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. I wonder if somebody might let something slip today. Folks, let me say it like this. That's what's wrong with the world today. That's what's wrong with the church. See, they're not really fully given to the things of God. I made mention of it this morning, giving your life to the cause. Not going out, you know, doing your own thing and getting your mind back on the world and the things of the world, but completely being given to God. But see, that's what the Bible said. In the last days, they'll be eating and drinking. It will be a thing of just filling up on the things of the world, food and whatever. And then the day come upon you unaware, take you like a snare. As a snare. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to set a snare for a bird. I know just exactly how to do it, to lead him into the snare and catch him. And I'd catch him. I'd lead him right into it and catch him. And the Bible says, as a snare shall it come upon all of the world, as a snare. For in the hour that ye think not, he said, it'll be just like that. And that's bad, folks. It's really really disappointing to me and to the Lord to think that you haven't had any thoughts towards such a great, tremendous project for God. Makes you wonder what you've done with your thoughts and what you've done with your time, doesn't it? It's for sure somebody's putting something in the computer outside of God. You're getting your program from somewhere else. I feel that if I should take that outlook, that I wouldn't last very long. It's little wonder why people backslide and why they're lost, while they're losing out with God. Anybody that can come to Christ, come to a project for Christ of winning souls and feeding the hungry, and then walk off and within a few hours forget it, there ain't much hope for that person. Did you know that? There ain't much hope for them. It's a good possibility that that person is a reflector. And they don't really have any life of their own. They just reflect, and wherever they're at, that's what they reflect. And it's a good possibility that that person will never excel in God. A person, you know, if you work on a job and you can lay your job down and go home and forget about it, that's one thing. But when you walk with God and you can lay God down and go home and forget about Him, that's another thing altogether. A man that can leave a God project, walk home, wash his face, clean up, sit down and start getting his mind on something else, something's wrong with that fella. He just didn't make it, that's all. He just hadn't got the goods. You say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that, do you? So help me God, I believe that. I don't believe that man's got anything. Anytime a man can work on God's job or do God's thing or anything that pertains to God and go home and just turn it on, he hasn't got the goods. That's all there is to it. When you are born of God, you don't ever get it off of your mind. No, never. If it's one night, one day, one week, or one year, or 10 years, if it's night and day, never at any time do you ever get it off of your mind. And besides that, if you did, you'd be gone. See, the commandment of God is to meditate in His laws day and night. And it says to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. If you've got one thought running loose, then you just failed to get on board, that's all. You just didn't make it. This is an every thought, day and night meditation. And if you've got any loose thoughts that's gone anywhere else, you just didn't get on board, that's all. So, you say, but I'm a believer. I know the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil, he believes and he trembles. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is inactive. It's not activated. It's not alive. It's dead. That you're not going to get your heart to believe anything until you do some works to persuade it. Until you show your heart that you're interested enough to do something to persuade it to believe in your project. Did you know that? You'll never get anything from God. You love the Lord. I want to ask you again, if you have any plans for Jesus. I saw this morning several people that I personally know was financially able to do something for God. I saw them walk out when it got time for the offering. They stayed till time for the offering and then they excused themselves and they left. You say, well, what do you think about folks like that, Brother Pike? I think they need to be born again. What do you think about them? Somebody says, but they were Christians. Well, to me, that's debatable. That's a matter of opinion as far as I'm concerned. The person that does the will of God, that's a Christian. The Bible said, in which one of these did you think did the will of God? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This is a Christian. This is Christ-like. Can you picture Christ excusing himself from his responsibilities? Do you think that Jesus, the Christ, would actually excuse himself from his responsibilities? If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I judge him according to what he did when he tabernacled in the human body here on earth, I don't think I could ever find a place where he would excuse himself from his responsibilities. Have you ever read a place where he ever excused himself from his responsibilities? Never. When a person doesn't have time to do anything for God or give to God, then that means they just haven't got God, that's all. If they've got God, they most assuredly will delight in doing something for God. Even David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to church. Let us go in the house of God. David, being a king with all the wealth of the world, he said, well, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. So he esteemed being a doorkeeper worth more than being a king out among the heathens or being out in the world, being overtaken with the things of the world, even being rich. He said, well, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. So I just can't seem to visualize anybody having anything, you know, that would do things like that. You know, folks, I know that this sounds unusual and this sounds foreign to you. I know that. But I have people sitting in my congregation. They come in and out the church. They do this at Brother John's church. They do this at Brother Pike's church. They do this at Brother Robert's place, and they do it at every other church. When the sons of God come to present themselves, the sons of the devil come also. All of them have to give an account to God. Some of them's just as religious as Cain. Well, I have people here at Bethlehem that you could not imagine the low-down, evil, degraded, filthy, unclean practices that they have. Are you listening to me, folks? Somebody said, Brother Pike, you can't mean that. Oh, yes, I mean that. I mean that. It's like somebody today I was talking with. As I talked with them, I said, thus and thus and thus. And I said, it doesn't make any difference whether you answer me or not. I said, I'm not asking you these things as to find out your guilt. I said, the Lord's already told me all about you. To that extent, he told me exactly what you've done, and you've done this. I said, I'm just asking to see how truthful you'll be. So I don't know how to judge you. And he broke down and he said, it's true. It's true. It's true. So that's the way it is. You know, we come here and we sit in the congregation and it's not a matter of whether God knows about you, folks. He knows about you. Not that the preacher's going to embarrass you or try to do something to embarrass you. If he's a real preacher, he would probably be the last one that would want to do that. But you know, you hide. You hide. You hide yourself in sheep clothing, being wolves. And then you don't think that God knows, and you don't think that God sees, and you don't think that God understands. You don't know it a lot of times, but you that are sitting here, you're sitting beside a devil. Jesus said, I've chose 12 of you. One of you is a devil. A lot of times, sons and daughters of God, you don't know that you're sitting beside a devil. A lot of times, by the grace of God, I see him. I know him. And I've got the double barrel loaded, as Brother Branham said. As long as he don't pop his head up, we'll just leave him alone. But when he pops his head up to bother the sheep, then we've got the double barrel ready. So it is sad to know that these things prevail. It is sad to know the cunning craftiness of men who lie in wait, thereby to trap you and to catch you in a snare and to take you into their evil device. But God will stick the firebrand to them. One of these days he'll stick the fire to them, and it'll be such as they never dreamed as to terror and torment and horror. But you just walk with God and you be steadfast and you stay clean in your mind. Stay clean in your heart. Stay clean in your soul. Stay clean in your deeds. The judgments are coming, and they're coming fast now. A lot of times we go from one extreme to another. We strain at a gnat and we swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind, if they lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But you know, we'll look at the heathens on the other side of the world who are improperly dressed. And over here, we'll take the religious outlook that God isn't concerned about clothing. God isn't concerned about our mode of dress. Though the Bible emphatically states to dress as becometh holiness, which proves he's very much concerned. But we take it, you know, we are a religious bunch of proselytes if we don't have God. And we say, but God wants us to tell them people about his darling son and his love and all of these wonderful things and how he has saved them from sin. God could care less about the dressing. And so we comfort ourselves and we march right headlong into the flames of hell. He said, well, Brother Pike, isn't that right? Yes, it's right. It's right. That's right. You know, God wants us to tell the heathens about the Son of God, his love. That's right. But let me ask you a question. When the devil came to Jesus, took him up on the pinnacle, and he said, it is written, cast yourself down from here, and I'll give my angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Was that right? Was that right? Sure it was right. Every bit of it was right. But see, it was taken out of its proper setting. It was taken out of context. The devil was using the word of God to kill with. We pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. So then is God concerned about the heathens over there putting on clothes? Sure, he's concerned. So then we take another extreme and we say, more holy than thou, more holy than thou, thou heathen, more holy than thou. Get some clothes on. So we set up a more holier than thou atmosphere, and the poor heathen maybe they don't even have enough clothes to put on short clothes, let alone long clothing. So we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. So then we say, well, God, what do we do? Well, it works like this. To whom much is given, much is required. And that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and didn't do it shall be beaten with many stripes. But the servant that did not know to do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So then what should we do? We should go tell them about Jesus. We should offer a consolation. We shouldn't worry about their clothing or what they wear or whether they have anything on or not. That's not important. The thing is, we're trying to convert them, and as Jesus said, cleanse the inside of the platter and not be a self-righteous hypocrite like the scribes and the Pharisees was. You know, it would be a very unusual thing if I sent 10 men out to go fishing, and every one of them, when I come to find them, or when I went looking for them, I'd find them on the bank trying to figure out how to dress a fish before he caught him. That would be an unusual thing, wouldn't it? So it's for sure that you can't tutor people and develop people and dress them until you can at least, as fishers of men, get a hook into them and catch them. So then with the heathen, tell them about Jesus and the love of God. Give them all the heavenly bait that you can give them and get them on a hook. And gradually wind them in and don't snatch their mouth out. You know, a lot of times you'll be fishing, you jerk the fish's mouth slap out the side because you don't have any reason. But just gradually work until you can get him in, big or little. And then you can dress him and he'll be meat for the master's use. But in the meantime, what we want to do is get Jesus into their heart, tell them about Jesus. And then through the months and the years of patience, we'll be able to develop their mind and tell them the wonderful things of God and how they need to be dressed. And as it was with the Legion, when we get them in their right mind, then we can dress them. But I'm saying this, that because the heathens don't know, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to get in a bunch of bathing suits and go around naked over here. It doesn't mean that the preacher who does know has the right to strip off and get in there and intermingle with that bunch of heathens that don't know. He needs to wear clothes, and his wife needs to wear clothes, and his congregation needs to wear clothes to be a light to get those people to see what wearing clothes is like and the need of it. You understand what I'm saying? Because those people that are heathens in a foreign country are half-dressed or undressed, it doesn't mean that the first church over here in America can run around in shorts and bathing suits and say, well, God doesn't care about clothing. Because he certainly does. And he'll require of these over here, but not of them over there until they know it. You understand what I'm saying? So then, we can't go over to the heathen country by the same token and tell them that they're going to die and go to hell because they don't have on any clothes, when they don't even know what a hell is, and they don't even know what a heaven is, and they don't even know anything about God, and we are self-righteous, and we're wearing full garments and going over there and telling them, you know, about their shortcomings. Have you understood what I'm saying? So then, folks, we've got to do it God's way. I can't afford to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I can't go out into the field and tell them people to put on clothes. And then when I bring them over here to my house, they see us half naked. And I can't go out there and tell them people that they need God and that they need to clothe themselves. And men and women don't need to mix and mingle when they're undressed, unless they're married folks. And then come back and mix and mingle women all together half naked. I don't see that. I can't understand that. That's like I was saying today, straining at a gnat, swallowing a camel. You know, I've said this a number of times. A man goes off to be a doctor. He gets some kind of a doctor's degree. And then he gets it in his brain that he's supposed to take your wife and strip her off and she's nude because he's a doctor. What makes him think that he's got the right to make a harlot out of your wife and a spectacle out of your wife because he's got some kind of a paper or degree? You say, Brother Pike, it's not like that. It's just exactly that way, as dirty and low down as it can be. Filthy. Somebody said, but you've got to have that. Where was the world before doctors ever came? What happened to him? How did women birth children before doctors ever got into the world? They had midwives. They did it decently. You say, Brother Pike, is not like that. Yes, it is like that. Not only like that, but the doctors committing adultery with the patients and the dentists committing adultery with the patient. I told them it would come to that, and it has come to that. And they found proof of it by setting up cameras catching them. See, like a woman came to a man not too long ago. A person that I know that's supposed to be a devout Christian for years.
and told the man that he was to undress. She was a doctor. She was going to examine him. Where it's sad to say that just about every man and the woman in the world just about has gone through that dirty, filthy hog pen. But nevertheless, the man stood there and said, "You're a woman." She said, "Don't be silly, I'm a doctor." So he undressed. Somebody said, "Well, that dirty, low-down thing." But turn it around and put the woman there and put the man out there, and it'll still be the dirty, low-down thing. No difference. You understand what I'm saying, folks? And then we get up in church on Sunday morning and we tell people how to live and we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And we just have got out of the mud holes and washed the mud off. Don't you know God is going to tolerate any such as that? That's evil. That's wretched. That's unclean. What we need to do is do it according to the Bible. That can be a godly way of doing things. And that can be an ungodly way of doing things. And there's a biblical godly way of doing things. And being a physician. And being a nurse. And having a way to care for people. To look after people. And reach the lost and the dying that's out in the world. When you go to the heathens, as Brother Johns does and some of the other medical men, like I mentioned down along the Amazon, some of those people don't know anything about clothing. They don't even know they're supposed to wear clothes. You have to work with them, and you have to work with them like they are, and gradually teach them and keep your heart clean and pure while you're doing it. And still have the standards of holiness among them people to develop them and show them right from wrong. And then when you do get their attention, you have to continue that line of holiness so that they won't get confused. You know, this is the problem. I don't mean this wrong, folks, but I'm telling you like it is. The military, the medical world, and the educational system is three of the meanest, dirtiest, low-down things in all of the world and has corrupted the entire world generation after generation. I've been walking along the street and I have seen myself, a decent woman and a decent man, darling people that love one another. And I've seen a bunch of soldiers walk by and insult her and say dirty, filthy things to her and her husband there, and him in such a rage that he'd have choked the life out of them if he could have got to them. But the wife pleading, "Let's go on," because there were so many of them, they would have mobbed him. Dirty, low down. See, mess up their lives and then want to mess up other folks' lives. So see, there's a God way, there's a right way. And folks, this is what has caused confusion in the world. You say, "Brother Pike, do you believe that tutoring and teaching is evil?" I certainly do not. There is nothing more precious than development and understanding if it's godly education and not science falsely so called. There is nothing greater than the medical world of medicines and helps and x-rays and anything that can help a poor suffering person. To pour in the oil and the wine and put the figs on the balls to bind up the wound. And there's nothing better than a military defense that fears God and reverence God and loves God and only moves as David of old and others did at the command of God. Nothing more beautiful. But there's nothing more dirty than a perverted army and a perverted navy and a perverted medical world and a perverted school. Like over here in Athens, one of the greatest units in the world so far as schooling. And what is it? Not too long ago, they were stripping off their clothes and streaking, what they call streaking, going nude. Somebody said, "Well, people go without clothes. What is that? What is the difference does that make? It don't make any difference." If it's the heathen, it don't know. But them people will go to hell for it. And we'll go to hell if we don't tell the heathens that don't know and teach them to do right. He said, "I'll require the blood at your hand if you don't want them." So I'm saying that where the confusion is today is within these three perspectives of life, because they're necessitated things in life. They're not optional. These things are necessitated. And I brought out the three parts of the beast, how that those three things would dominate humanity and what they would do, and they're doing it. See, and it's a forced issue. You can't do anything about it. It's a forced issue. Now, I just want to say this. The Bible says where there is confusion, there is every evil work. And brethren, that's confusion. When I go out here as a minister and I tell that person to put on clothes and dress right, and then when the doctors and the nurses take them up there and play games with them and strip them off like common prostitutes, and the woman goes into the nude man and the doctor goes into the nude woman, something's wrong, folks. That is confusion. And that has gotten the people so confused till they don't know what to do. You take your companion at home and you say, look, be a lady, be a lady. In 9 months when she goes to deliver her little one, the doctor says, be a prostitute, be a prostitute. So she's a prostitute. And then you bring her back home and she's been a prostitute to all the doctors and everybody around. And then she comes back home and you say, be a lady for the next 9 months, be a lady. Don't you know that's evil? That's wicked? Don't you know that God will frown on that? How can you ever expect that woman to be straight and walk upright? She might try to please you, but down in her heart, she thinks my husband ain't got enough sense to go to town and back. Don't he have enough sense to know what's going on? Come on, folks. Let's be realistic. You say, well, Brother Pike, you act indignant. I do get indignant sometimes, if that's what you want to call it. And Paul said, I'm not beside myself except for Christ. The world's in a mess of confusion. We need, as the ministers of God, to get this thing straightened out. And if I don't speak up, and if you don't speak up, who's going to speak up? Just like a man told me today, he said, Brother Pike, until I came to Little Bethlehem, or until you came into the areas of another state preaching this thing, he said, I never even thought about anything like that. He said, I just took it for granted because it was doctors that's supposed to do that. He said, but when I got to thinking about it after you preach it, I thought, well, how crazy that is, how unreal that is. Somebody said, well, I don't see it like that. Well, let me ask you a question. How would you love to set up an agency out here and sell license to take your wife down yonder and strip her off? Come on, folks. Somebody said, are you crazy, Brother Pike? No, I'm not crazy. That makes just as much sense for you to set up an office and license people to strip women off as it does for somebody over on the other side of the hill to set up something and sell license so they can strip them off. Blind guides, leaders of the blind, strain at a net, swallow a camel, the blind lead the blind, the whole bunch falls into the ditch. This is what's brought sickness, and this is what's brought heartaches, and this is what brought poverty, and this is what brought confusion. This is what's brought the tornadoes, and this is what's brought wars and all these other things, folks. That's what it is. We're a bunch of religious proselytes unless we get down to the truth. But you got to know the truth, and then the truth will make you free, and then you can set up a true church, and then the blessings of God will come back, and the power of God will come back, and the glory of God will come back, and your children out here won't be a bunch of heathenistic dope addicts running around everywhere. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that'll have anything to do with this generation. It's just a new generation, Brother Pike. Well, why did the Bible say, because the parents have eaten sour grapes, the children's teeth are on edges? Sure, that's got to do with it. That's where it's at. Boy and girl, look at mama and think, you hypocrite. You might not have enough sense to know what's going on, but I do. If we're just going to be a bunch of beasts and just going to put ourselves together, let's just dope it up and have a party, and let's do it. Let's don't wait till we get to the hospitals, and let's don't wait till we get over here at some home or something and hide behind the curtains and practice our filth. Let's just be a youthful, go get it, and do whatever we want to. Sure, that's the way they understand it. They got enough sense to know that. Like I told him one time about a school, I said, I picked up the man's spirit that's over that school. I said, the professor's taking up time in the wrong way with the students. I said, it's wrong with him and the girls over there. Oh, no, not all this time. That professor's been there, but they found out he was doing it. And like I said about the dentist, I said, you're going to find out that some of your dentists are taking advantage of your women. I said, the evil low-down thing is, if you go up there, the doctor, he's got to take the woman, and the nurse, she's got to take the man when it's supposed to be the other way around. I said, a lust devil. And sure enough, when they set up the cameras, they found out exactly that's what it was. I told them, I said, you're going to find it out about the doctors too. They didn't believe that. But it wasn't long before they found out that a doctor took his patient and molested the patient, and not only molested the woman, but run off with the woman and took the woman away from her husband. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm talking about being realistic, folks. Somebody said, well, you know what it is? You're just confused, that's all. You're confused. That's right. I appreciate that. That's right. See, it's right. You may never accept it, but you're going to hell because you don't do it. Somebody said, but we've got to do these, Brother Pike. We've got to do these things. No, you don't have to do them. No, you don't have to do them. There's nothing that makes you do that. Not a thing. There's still midwives. And somebody said, but you can't hire a midwife, Brother Pike. I know it, because the devils and the demons has got their little religious clique, you know, to make their money, to pay on their Thunderbird, as we say, or their big fine car. They've got their little clique. You've got to get the license. They're afraid that you're going to get a bite of their cake. So you can't hire a midwife. They rule that out. Unless she works through their little clique, and then she's just as dirty as they are. Somebody said, well, there you are, Brother Pike. Us poor folks, we can't do it. Why can't you do it? Somebody said, well, you just said you can't do it. I didn't say a thing about not being able to do it. I said, through their clique. As long as it's non-commercial and there's no money got out of it, they could care less. That ain't bothering their cake at all. All you've got to do is just get your midwives like they had them in the early days. And you can get medical care, and you can get the things that you need. And the Bible said concerning the women that delivered children, they delivered quickly. That was not the travail that there is in the languishing of the dirty, filthy system of today. They went on healthy and bore 10 and 15 children, and was healthy and strong as they could be. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know it's true. You know what it is? The devil has blinded your eyes, and the devil's got the little click. And you want to go along with the devil. The Bible said, my people love to have it so. So they go along with the little clique, because the devil is in the flesh. And the devil loves the things of the flesh. And the devil fixes it to where it can be that way. You know, let the woman wander all day long and rub elbows with the folks uptown, in the sense of buying and selling in her vain jangling. You leave the house and let 15 salesmen come to your house while you're gone. And the milkman comes, and the other man comes, and the other man comes, and it's just a dirty, filthy mess. Somebody said, you don't know. Yes, I do. I wish I didn't, only to the extent that I could help win souls to God. I have, as a Christian, as a minister, run routes, sold insurance, collected, been there in different kinds of jobs, and come up in time to see the dirty, low-down, filthy mess going on from the man that collected or the other man that come to the house just before we collected. I believe in holiness, folks. I believe it's holiness or hell. I believe in righteousness. I believe in godliness. I believe in holiness in your home. I believe in holiness on your job. I believe in holiness in a drugstore. I believe in holiness in the hospital. And I believe in holiness in the military ranks. And I believe in holiness in the colleges, in the schools. And I believe that anybody that doesn't follow that will go to hell. They are a candidate for hell. And if they promote it, they are a leader leading the blind into hell. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Bad to have to preach and then ask for the amens. But nevertheless, it's just that way. Somebody said, what are you doing, Brother Pike? I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to find out. He said, well, you mean you come up here to tell us all this? I didn't even come up here to preach. I didn't have no plans of preaching, no idea of saying nothing. Something said, you're going to minister tonight. And I thought, no, with the other minister, something said, you'll minister anyway. I want you to say something. So I'm saying something, folks. I think it's time to do something about it. I think it's time to get back to the place to where, though there be few that find it, get back to the place to where we can look and say, hey, there goes a lady. Be careful what you say. And somebody can say, hey, that man over there, he's a real gentleman. That man right there, he wouldn't insult you. He wouldn't even think about the wrong things, let alone say them. I think it's time we got back to that. You know, real godly living. You say, what do you think's going to happen if we do that, Brother Pike? Just a little group. When we get back like that, what do you think's going to happen? I think Jesus is going to come back. I believe he's going to come back just as soon as you get clean and take a good shower and wash the dirt off. And you're not filthy, I think. He that is clean, that washed you by his blood, will be back to get you. Because he said a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That's what I'm coming for. He already washed you by his blood. He already made you holy and without spot and wrinkle by his predestinated ordination of his own righteousness. But you've not been yet partakers of it as to the surrender and the conformity as to believe what he said about it to be fully his. So he's not been able to possess the reins of your heart. But when he, God, the Spirit of holiness, begins to enter your mind and enter your body and begin to possess the reins of your body and your mind to redeem you, as Paul said, body, soul, and spirit, that you might be blameless before God. When that begins to happen, then the body's going to translate just like that. Be holy, for I'm holy. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, this thing is faith. You know, you just got to believe. You just got to be holy on the inside. I agree that you need to be holy on the inside. But the Bible said be holy in body. That body's supposed to be holy too. We're talking about a redemption of the body, folks. We've tried to be holy inside, but the body's been running wild. It's time we've done something about it so we can bring the Lord back. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying or not. Someone would say, well, it's very plain. We're not ignorant. We know what you're saying, Brother Pike. But the Bible said the wicked shall not understand. I'm just saying, I don't know how many of you is wicked. Not that God wants the wicked to perish. He said, I don't want the wicked to perish. I would that the wicked repent. It's not my will that the wicked should perish, but rather repent and have everlasting life. See, but I don't know how many is wicked, so I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying or not. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. Anyway, that's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. I want a clean medical profession. I want a clean military. I want a clean educational system. I want a clean home. I want a clean city. I want us to do something to clean things up. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. It says of the sons of God because it puts it in the male gender. But it is waiting for the manifestation, not waiting for the sons of God. You know, let's don't misconstrue it. Let's don't get the idea that the world is waiting for the waiting for the sons of God. Because the Bible said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. The sons of God are already here. They're already here in the world. See, but they've never been manifested. That invisible, holy you and me by God's righteousness. See, it has never been made manifest so that the world can see the glory of it or see the power and the magnificence and the wisdom of it. See, they've never been made manifest to the human eye. Not yet. Not yet. So then the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? We, the sons of God, we sang that song, we're the sons of God. See, we, the sons of God, we are the sons of God. It is time for us to rise up, take the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdoms of that world. God has already given us the kingdoms of that world. We've already got the kingdom of heaven on the inside of us. But we need to rise up and take the kingdoms of this world so that God can say the kingdoms of this world has now become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And I want to ask you a question. Can't you just picture the Lord Jesus Christ reigning? Here he is. We say he's reigning. He's reigning in the earth. We're having a good time. We're his subjects. Lord Jesus, come over to the hospital and check it. We know it's dirty, filthy, messed up, and you're going to see things that's unreal. But come on over, visit our hospital. Can you imagine him doing that? The Bible said that God could not look on sin and therefore put his son out of his very presence. Because he couldn't look on sin. Said his eyes are too pure to behold evil. He couldn't look on sin and he turned away from the Son of God. And do you think he's going to come to these dirty places? Of course not. The only way he can behold us now is through the blood of his Son. That is, every time he looks at us and that anger of God would billow until it would tear us to pieces, he sees the blood that said, you've already tore him to pieces. It's already done it. You've done it at Calvary. You tore him to pieces at Calvary. You killed that evil beast. You done away with that wicked image. That prostitute, that drunkard, that harlot. You smote it with all of your fury. Here's the blood before you. And then the compassion comes. So, I'm just saying that if the Lord was here, I dare say, you know, he wouldn't even visit some homes here. Only through the blood can he even be in the midst of the people to give them grace. But when that blood comes off of the seat of atonement, you will be eternally and forever separated from God, the eternal spirit of life. That'll be it, folks. Okay, we've said those things. Now everybody can go away and make a joke out of that. See, everybody that's blind, everybody that don't see, everybody that don't care, everybody that don't want it, can go around now and they make a joke out of it. And just joke your way right on into the flames of a burning lake of fire. Go and out-reason it. Going through your philosophy and through your education. Whereas the Bible said, the wise of this world, God has made them fools. And he said, if you're wise in this world, become a fool, that you may be wise in Christ. For God has taken the wise in their own craftiness, and the wise to God, the Bible said, are fools in his sight. So go get with your little educational system and your little wisdom and your little board of directors and whatever. You know, and reason it all away and watch the judgments of God be released against you as a fiery furnace and a fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries at his coming. But you that love God, incorporate this in your life, in your lifestyle, in your understanding. Work toward this to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Keep working toward perfection. Keep trying to help people. Keep telling them the right thing. And then we won't confuse them. Tell them one thing over here, and when you meet them over here today, tell them the same thing. When you preach to them in the church about decency, when you get into the hospital, tell them the same thing. Prove it to them. Show it to them. Let them see it. Let them know that that's what you practice. And then we'll have a great democracy, or we'll have a great society, or we'll have a great move of God that will bring in the kingdom of God, and everybody will be happy. Won't be this racial discrepancy and this racial prejudice, feelings, and the act of difference of colors and difference of nations and all of this foolishness. It won't be there. We'll be the loving children of God, and everything will be lovely. Everything will be beautiful, and we won't have the fears and frustrations and anxieties of cancer, death, and of our little children being taken away from us. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Folks, you'll just have to forgive me. You know, if this don't sound right to you, you'll just have to be patient with me, because I preached before I read the Bible. Somebody said, that couldn't be preaching. There ain't no way. You never did read the Bible yet, so I guess we better read the Bible. Somebody said, but you can't do that, Brother Pike. Well, there's folks that they eat their pie first and then eat their meal afterwards. Now, the doctor recommends that sometimes. I knew a friend, it was like that. It was a barber. The doctor recommended that it was like that. You love the Lord? Folks, let me tell you something. It's like our brother said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Whatever he is, whatever he was, that's what he's always going to be. And we are to be like him. He is our example. Brother Pike is not intelligent. And Brother Pike is not smart. And Brother Pike is no special person. I don't have any special understanding, any special ability, any special knowledge. I'm just a child of God. That's all I am. But I have, by his grace, been exposed to truth. And I believe in truth. And I believe the only thing that is going to make the world free is the truth. And that's going to bring us our prosperity, our health, our happiness, and our security. When we do those things, happy is he that doeth these things that I say. He'll be like that tree that's planted by the water that'll bring forth the fruit in the season. His leaves will not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're planted by the river of life. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that those trees were planted by the river of life on either side. Not trees, but tree of life. Not plural, but singular. One tree of life. But it was on either side of the river. Still the tree of life. He said, well, I can't be, Brother Pike. I don't know.
It's like a dynasty. Or it is like the body of Christ. One head, many members, just one tree of life. That's all. But the reason it brought forth life is because its roots run down into the waters of the river of life. Therefore, it drank from the waters of life, and when it produced fruit, it produced fruits of life. So then, if you're not rooted in the river of life, you're going to have withered fruits. And the Bible said, every plant that the Father's not planted or rooted shall be plucked up. Let's read this right here in chapter 2. Paul says in the 6th verse of chapter 2, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now then, how many perfect folks do we have? You know, a lot of times I ask this and some folks draw back on me, but in that God is coming back after a church that's perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. I ask the question a lot of times and say, how many perfect folks do we have? Whereas the Bible says that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and he has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, having predestinated to the extent that we are elect, and nothing can separate us from our election, powers, things present, things to come, whatever. And according to the Bible, he hath justified, sanctified, and the Bible says, glorified. So then if he's perfected us forever, then we're just here as a helper of your faith to perfect your faith by furnishing you with all the promises and the securities and things that he left in his will for you. As a lawyer to tell you the things, see. We're just here to perfect your faith, your believing in all of these perfect works that he did in your behalf that made you perfect in the sight of God. So then it reads like this. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For the Bible said, the wicked shall not understand when good cometh. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, now, let me say this. I'm going to close in just a minute or two, but let me say this in the way of exhorting you. We say that we can't do that, Brother Pike. We must follow the system. If we can't do that, if we follow the system, then we're part of the system. We bid at Godspeed. We all go to hell together. Daniel didn't follow the system. Daniel had a conviction. And the law said, you can't make any petition to any god except the king. That didn't faze Daniel. The law didn't faze Daniel. The professional world didn't faze Daniel. All of the polished scholars didn't faze Daniel. When Daniel got ready to call on his God, he called on his God like he'd always done. The Hebrew children did the same thing, brethren. God delivered them. They were not destroyed. God delivered them from destruction. But one thing it did do, it promoted the cause of Christ and the kingdom. When they saw Daniel's boldness and God's ability to deliver, the whole kingdom was converted to believe in Daniel's God. The king said, "The man that doesn't worship the God of Daniel, I'll make his house a dunghill." He said, "I make a decree that all folks everywhere worship the God of Daniel." So, if we bow, we burn. If we don't bow, we don't burn. If we compromise, we go to the lion's den. If we don't compromise, we don't go to the lion's den. If we compromise to get something, then the thing that we compromise to get, we will lose. We will either be taken away from it or it will be taken away from us. So, you say, what do we do, Brother Pike? We acknowledge him in all of our ways that he might direct our path, meditating his laws day and night, that we might do the things always that please the Father, to be about his business, to establish his kingdom in earth, praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth, Father, just as it is done in heaven." So we don't have to follow the system of the paganistic world, because we are not of the wisdom of men. But we set up our own system. We do things according to the Bible. We've got a king, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a government that is upon our own shoulders. We've got a kingdom that belongs to him, and all things are his, and all things are ours. I have the right to do what I want to with that which is mine. The Bible said, "That which is yours, it is right for you to do whatsoever you will with it." Okay, he said, "But what things are mine, Brother Pike?" "Everything." The Bible said, "All things belong to you. All things are yours. The stars, the moon, the world. You're the sons of God. The world is waiting for your oversight and you to take charge, to get the infiltration out so that all of this stuff will be gone and we can have a great time in God. We'll defeat those things and bring real true deliverance to the children of light." You understand what I'm saying? So all things are ours. If the government's got some kind of thing, they're passing some kind of thing that don't agree with God, away with it. And I said, "Brother Pike, you mean that?" "I mean every word of it." I said, "But they'll take your head off from that." "I know, but someday my head will come back. And then I'll be over there with him, and then God will take their heads off and their head won't come back." So then, that's the way that it is supposed to be, folks. All things is ours, and he's our king, and this is his kingdom. And we're trying to get his will done on earth. And God will give us men just like Reagan. Reagan is working pretty good in a lot of ways with things. We prayed. I've really prayed, and I'm sure you have and others have. I prayed many times for the presidents of the United States and for the Pope of Rome and for the kings and the queens and the leaders. I prayed many days, months, years. And Reagan's doing pretty good. He took his stand and said that he was going to serve God to his understanding. Much known, much required. Little known, little required. He said, "I'm going to stand for it. You can put me in it. You don't have to put me in." Other presidents wouldn't do that. Talk about religion. They was afraid it would make them lose the office so they wouldn't confess Christ. Afraid to put them out of the synagogues as it was in the days of the Jews. You love the Lord? Blind man got back his sight because he confessed him and said, "Will you also worship him?" They got indignant about it, but he still testified of Jesus. Let's stand together and sing a little chorus. This is unusual tonight because I very definitely had no plans whatsoever to preach. As a matter of fact, I had plans to come here and have Brother John's to preach tonight. But God does things in strange ways, folks. Maybe it's because that the people did not lay to heart the needy project of India. Maybe that's the reason that it worked out that Brother John's didn't come back to minister to you. Maybe if you cared so little, some of you, then God cared so little as to let somebody of that caliber and degree of life talk with you. It could very well be. They said to Jesus, "Depart out of our coast." So Jesus, insomuch as said, "Well, if you esteem hogs above God, I'll leave." He cast out some devils, and the devils had gone into the hogs, and the hogs had drowned themselves. And the people got all alarmed because they lost the pork chop. You know what it was? The devil was upset because all of the labors for the belly. The Bible said all of man's labors for the belly, because the belly craves it of him. You know why the belly craves it of him? Because God put the serpent on his belly. Put him on his belly. So when God come in and begin to let the devils drive the hogs off, down in the creek down there, or down in the ocean that is, the water, it disturbed their belly. The devil got disturbed about the belly. He saw that he was going to run short with food for the belly. And so he got indignant. And he said, you need to get God out of here. You don't need nobody around here that's able to restore people's minds and get people out of the cemetery from breaking chains and restore madmen. You need hogs. We've got to have something for the belly. So they said, would you depart out of our coast? And so he left. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you make it sound so gruesome. It's just plain, down-to-earth, realistic talk. I was brought up on the farm, you know, and I'm a country boy, and that's just plain, down-to-earth talk. I know what a hog is. I used to have to feed the hogs when I was a boy. We used to call it slopping the hogs. That's what the devil's doing to the pigs today. He's slopping the pigs. And the Bible said they're feeding themselves as they're nourishing their heart as in the day of slaughter. Fatten them for the kill. In the first place, in the day of Jesus, they weren't supposed to be eating hog. It was contrary to the teachings of the Old Testament for them to even eat hogs to begin with. He was well in his right to run them all into the ocean. They were unclean. I said, well, Brother Pike, what about now? Well, when Jesus died for the remission of sin, then he brought it to pass that what I've cleansed call thou not common. All things are sanctified by prayer. If you get hungry enough, if you can't find nothing but a rattlesnake, if you can chop him up and get him fit for the pan, you know, just pray and God will sanctify him and he'll be okay. And I said, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's because you ain't been hungry enough. That's like Sister Betty's uncle. When they got hungry enough, they killed the mules and the horses and began to eat them. He said, they got hungry. Some folks say, I wouldn't do that. I dare say some of you eat a whole lot worse than that and just don't know nothing about it. Like David Paul, he went over to one fine cafe over in Athens and they got him a fine meal. Got their hot chocolate and Coke and whatever it was. I don't know what it was. And when he stepped off for a few minutes and come back, he found out that somebody had, what do you call it, hawked and spit in it. And there it was, a big chunk. Of course, the cafe, you know, they gave him a free meal. But after that, it had been hard for me to stay in the cafe. I tell you what, folks, I'm telling you the truth. A lot of times you don't know it. But you get waitress upset at you. Some of you that act like you do, you're so haughty and hard to please, and you're always grumbling and saying things. And the waitress hears you, and she just goes back in the back, and she just spits in it, stirs it up real good, and she... Good morning, lady. Good morning, gentlemen. Well, somebody said, what you don't know don't hurt you. I believe what you don't know is what hurts you the worst. She might have consumption. You never know. Isn't that true? And a lot of things that I look at may be a little different, like I told the brethren the other night. We talk about giving our lives for our country. I think we'd be a whole lot better off if we give our lives to our country. Like the Bible said, be a living sacrifice rather than a dead hero somewhere. You know, and be an example to the people and do something to straighten the things out. To me, that's a whole lot better. But anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, I'm going to say this and try to close. I went into a cafe with my son-in-law. And of course, he, there are people that's had the finest kind of cafe. I mean, the high-quality thing. And when we sat down, he began to mumble. And I began to get nervous. And he didn't like this and he didn't like that. I said, look, don't do that. Why? I said, man, don't do that. Ain't no telling what they'll do to that food. I said, if you don't like it, let's me and you get up and leave. I really feel that way. And I'm afraid, I don't know what they'll do to that stuff. But anyway, let's be holy, folks. Let's be godly. Let's be clean in our hearts and our minds. In our spirits, let's be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Let's sing a little chorus together, can't we? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Glad to have Brother Dennis here tonight. He wasn't here this morning. Wife was. It's good to see you, brother. Glad to have Sheena, the husband, here. They were here this morning. They're here again tonight. I'm so grateful. Glad to have our Brother Zimmerman, Sister Zimmerman. I really believe these people love God and they want the right thing. My wife told me she really believed that. And I really believe that. Glad to have our Brother Atlas, Sister Beachy, here with us. Dwight's already left to go back. I don't see Dahl, but we're glad to have Dahl here. He's around somewhere, I feel sure. Glad to have Vernon. Vernon's got him a place to stay in Monroe, and he's happy now. He's working. And he stayed here on the campground for quite a while, and now he's over in Monroe, and he wanted us to know he was coming to church. This was his church. He's coming to church. And looks like he's feeling good. God's done something for him. Vernon's really been through a lot of suffering. But don't forget the sermon I preached to you the other night. Preached a sermon to you the other night, and I tried to tell you how that Jesus is of one opinion toward you, and that's a loving opinion. He wants your health and happiness, folks. All the time, he's just of one frame of mind, that's all. He never changes that frame of mind. Let's believe in that love and believe in that goodness. Faith works by love, which means if you can believe in the love of God, it'll set your faith on fire. If you can just believe that God so loved you that he took away all of your sins and just blessed you with health and happiness and riches and prosperity and everything, if you can just believe in that love, it'll set your faith on fire. And your faith will bring everything that you desire. You love the Lord. So, we're glad to be here tonight. Glad to have our brother John's from over in India. My boy David Paul, he talked to me over the evening about Brother John's. He said, I believe that man's sincere, Dan. So I believe that's a straight man. How do you believe Brother John's is a straight man? Do you really believe that? I really believe that he is. I believe he's sincere. So, well, you believe it because you don't know nothing about him. You never heard anything against him. Oh, no, it ain't like that. I've done received letters concerning him before you've got here. And some of them wasn't good. So that's not what it is. As a matter of fact, we received letters also from Brother John's and newspaper clippings where the newspapers magnified his work in India. And it were good articles that magnified his work as to doing something for the suffering. And we saw the articles, and they were definitely authentic. They were newspaper articles. We're trying to work out something to where we can help him in his cause for God. And if we bid a thing Godspeed, if it be of God, then we are partakers. And if we do not bid it Godspeed, if it is of God, then that means that we lost our reward, folks. Hungry and you didn't feed me. Sick, you didn't do nothing for me. Let me say this right quick to the benefit of them that didn't hear Brother John this morning. Having ministered to more than 14,000 patients last year, going out into the highways and hedges, not only the hospital did they minister, but they went out into the areas, the villages, and the different places far away in mud so bad that they pushed his car 3 miles, I believe, in the mud trying to get the thing to where he could use it. First, having a healing medical campaign or an evangelistic campaign has to do what they could and then pray that God would do the rest. Preaching to them, telling them about Jesus, and then afterwards spending hours, no doubt, patiently spending hours, weary hours. If you've never been in India, folks, you don't know what weary hours really are. You think you get weary on the job. Brother John, am I telling the truth about that? Weary hours? Weary hours. I tell you what, hours spent in India, when you get out there and it's dry and it's desolate and there's no beauty, there's no flashing lights and there's no place to lay down, and the only thing they have in the way of a grocery store is a hut with a banana over here and an orange or something if you got that much. And sometimes they ain't got that. I tell you, you just get so weary, it looks like you can't really live. And you don't know what these folks go through with. I thought about it last night when he was showing the slides. I thought, my God, my brother's probably been so weary at times he couldn't hardly hold his mind straight and hold himself together, his nerves. I know that's true. And and he's doing that for you. We can stay over here and eat. Well, we eat bananas. I like bananas, but we can eat steak and whatever. And help Brother John to have something good to eat over there. And he'll be representing us over there and doing something in them dry places that you wouldn't want to go into. You know, and you can still stand up there. And when God sees you, he'll see you in them places with Brother John. Everywhere he goes, you'll be right there by his side, folks. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over. I want you to check up and see if you got anything left over. If you got anything left over, see if you can find a use for it. The Bible said so that he that gathered little had no lack. A lot of folks over there has gathered little. Let's see that they have no lack. Maybe not, as the world would say, but at least to this extent, that is for is what's required of you and I. So far as what we're supposed to do, let's do our part. Let's sing one more chorus or two and we're going to let you go. I know you're probably weary, you want to go home. But I tell you, a lot of times you don't know what weariness is. I remember when we went down in Central America. On this particular trip, we had a motorhome. Of course, the devil sees when you get into that country that you don't have any conveniences. He knocks them out. And there ain't no place to repair them. And the Lord lets that so that can make you feel the infirmities of the people. Of course, in that hot country, the air conditioning went out and this and that and whatever. Finally, the whole bus stopped. Had to pray to get the thing going. They had to customize and weld and do anything, you know. I saw my wife sick unto death. Sick. I mean sick, even with that kind of convenience. She was in such torment and misery, even with convenience. So you could imagine what it would be like. Without convenience. Betty was telling me of the Amazon story of a doctor that gave his life. Told of a mother that had four children, was it? Five children. The children took what we diagnosed as the whooping cough. And she tried to get to this doctor. Traveled, walked for miles. Trying to get to the doctor. And one of them, I believe, died. The little one died as she tried to get to the doctor. And finally, when she got to the doctor, another one was so far gone that even the doctor could not help it, and they had to watch it die. And I think maybe they saved three of the children. Is that? Another one died, they only saved two. Three of the children died. Which reminds me of the letter that Joe Bass or somebody sent recently of the terrible drought of Africa and the father seeking food. And the little children, numbers of them died on the journey trying to find water and trying to find food. Folks, I tell you, this is just too much to get a hold of for us to eat like we do and to be overweight like I am and overweight like you are. You might say, well, I'm not overweight, Brother Pike. You might not be overweight with fat, but you're overweight with the things of the world. Carrying too much worldliness in your life. You're loaded down. So then, whether drunken off of whiskey or drunken off of the cares of life, one and the same. Six of one, Brother Branham says half a dozen the other. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul.
soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
I tell you what, folks, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the orphans and the widows and their afflictions. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. And let me tell you, when you do this, the Bible said your health is going to return to you quickly. Your light's going to go before you. It's going to be a great day for you. This is what the young people need. Get you a vision. Without a vision, you'll perish. You'll wind up in prison. Wind up in the electric chair. You'll wind up in wrecks. You won't live your days half out. The wicked shall not live their days half out. Get you a vision, and you won't be in those troubles. You won't be in those problems. But when you wander around without a vision, you wind up in problems. God has to slip the bridle back over you. The bridle is for the horse's mouth. The rod is for the fool's back. The Bible said this is the only way God can deal with them. He said, I've got two bands and I lead my people by one of those two bands. One is called beauty, or two staves, that is. One is called beauty and one is called bands. He's got two staves. One is called bands or bondage. The bridle, the whip for the fool's back. And one is called beauty, which is liberty and love and blessings. He said, I'm going to lead you by one of these staves. And if you're stubborn, then I'll just have to bring the bond, the staff of bonds. And if you're not, we'll bring the staff of beauty. So then Satan is the staff of bonds. Will you then again be entangled in bondage with the beggarly elements of the things of the world, Paul said. And Jesus is called the staff of beauty. Though the Bible said he had no beauty, that any should desire him when the Father smit him. His countenance was marred more than any man because he represented Satan and the fall and represented sin. But when he was resurrected, again he became the loving beauty of God. That wonderful, wonderful beauty that outshines the noonday sun. God beautifies the meek with salvation. But when God corrects, the Bible says the beauty begins to consume away. Lift your hands up with us. Close your eyes. And tonight, while Brother Taylor's playing, the sister's playing on the piano, let's just ease down to the altar. And let's rededicate our heart, not just to Christ, but to the cause of Christ. Let's rededicate our lives to the cause of Christ. Folks, you know there's only a heartbeat between you and eternity, isn't that right? There's just one heartbeat. And if your heart stops beating, that's the end of the trail for you. God breathed the breath of life into man, and he became a living soul. That is in his nostrils. And the Bible speaks of man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. And just remember, just a little breath of life goes in and out your nostrils. Your heart beats because of that little breath of life. And that little red corpuscle called the hemoglobin has an affinity for oxygen. And it picks it up as it comes into your lungs. It goes into your bloodstream. The Bible said the life is in the blood. It goes into your bloodstream, which is mobile. Races around through your body to energize every little cell to let it breathe. And as I spoke the other night, the cosmic light or the energy that came through that little breath of life or that little bit of oxygen has entered into your body so that you can live. But see, natural life, as I have said in the past, natural life is only a temporal life like the bottle
that God gives to the baby. Somewhere you've got to wean the baby. And somewhere it's got to be changed over to some baby food, as we say, or some meat. And that meat is for the strong. Mothers back in the past would, in their day, take a little piece of meat and chew it up and put it into the baby's mouth so it wouldn't choke him. Folks, if we don't switch over from the bottle, not just switching over from the bottle in that we can't be spiritual babes all of our life, but I'm speaking of switching over from the bottle of temporal life, of natural life. God has just put a little breath of life inside of you. Not life, but just a breath of life. For He is life. He just breathes His breath into you. Not life, just a breath from life or of life. So that He could see what you would do with life if you was exposed to it. How you would conduct yourself as to whether you were honorable to the extent to receive life. And then those that are honorable, He switches them over from the bottle. When you switch over from the bottle, then you get life, because God, who is life, comes into your heart. And then you are eternal. Once He comes into your life, Jesus breathed the second time for the second life, or the second chance at life, saying, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," as He breathed upon them. And when you receive the Spirit of God, you become eternal. You can never die anymore. With the breath of life, you can die. That is, be separated from life forever by being placed in the lake of fire. But when you receive eternal life, when you receive God, you're eternal. You can never die anymore. Never. You may go to sleep as it was with Lazarus. In your body, you may go to sleep, but you'll never die, folks, because your spirit has received that eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. The life Himself has come into you. It's not a breath of life. But see, while we are going around with that little breath of life, we may get it knocked out of us. We may get it scared out of us. We may have a little complication with our physical makeup, and our heart may malfunction, and the little breath can't get down into the heart anymore, down into the blood cells anymore. And that's the end of us. But folks, when you get His Spirit, the same Spirit I feel right now, when you get His Spirit into your heart, when you take eternal life into your heart, you don't worry anymore. You may go to sleep in the body, but you don't worry anymore. You'll never die. Can't die. There's no way. You've already passed from death unto life. And there is the golden opportunity in this age that we're living in. There is the golden opportunity of redeeming the body so that it doesn't even have to go to sleep, to be put into the grave. The golden opportunity. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray together, and after we pray, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? You say, "Brother Pike, I just can't make it. You know, I told you the other night about the loving attitude of God toward you that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How He cares for you, and the only problem you've got is that you have violated your faith. You made your faith shipwreck. And the only problem that you've got is you put a shadow between you and Him, a shadow of unbelief because of condemnation, knowing that you haven't pleased Him. He hasn't changed His feelings nor His mind. I told you to put your faith in Him. If you wanted something, I'd pray with you and believe with you, and we'll get it. We'll do it if you'll believe." So tonight, take that outlook that He's for you. He loves you. He's eternally for you. He loves you. The only distance between you and Him, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. His hand is not short that it cannot reach thee, nor is His ear dull of hearing. It's ever attended toward the cry of the righteous. But folks, if we're going to believe, we've got to assure our heart, John said, by doing the things that please Him. For faith without doing right, that faith is not active and alive. It's dead. It won't register. It won't operate. It won't work. But I'll tell you what, if you do the best you can to please Him and realize that God makes up for your lack, put your faith in Him and don't waver, you'll feel a surge from heaven. You may feel empty, you may feel dry, you may feel backslid, but I guarantee you, if you'll just do that one time and accept the fact that He's yours and you belong to Him, you'll feel a surge through your body. You'll say, my God, I never felt the Spirit of God like this in my life. The freedom of that great Spirit. And you'll feel that virtue that went into that little woman's body begin to heal you and correct the disorder of your blood and begin to bring you deliverance and bring peace of mind, and devils will be going every which way. Because when that wonderful glorification of God, that light enters your body, something begins to happen. When that light came over the earth, the Bible said, though the earth was dark and void of light and without form, when that virtue began to move over the earth, light began to spring up. When that Spirit begins to move into your heart, understanding will come, spiritual light will come. You'll be radiating with the wisdom of God, and the fruits of the Spirit will begin to come forth, and your body will blossom like a rose. He said, what have I got to do, Brother Pike? Believe. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, Jesus Christ. I'm the works, finished from the foundation of the world. I've done it all. You just believe in me now. Rejoice forevermore. Praise me for what I've done for you. Love me. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Just believe in my health and my happiness, my security, my love, and your faith will be set on fire. And that glory will come rushing in, the divine deliverance of God. Put on your beautiful garments, O Zion. The terror has passed and it's gone over. The darkness of night and the evils have passed and it's gone on over. The storm has passed you by. All of the terrors of night and the horrors have passed over now, and the true light now shineth. And God has commanded the light to shine out of our hearts, even the light to shine out of darkness. The Bible said to them that sat in the regions and the shadow of death, to them it sprang up great light, that we're to hold on till that day star springs up in our heart. For that great light is among us. If two or three gathered together in His name, it was always found that the day star was among them, the bright and the morning star. If He's the bright and the morning star for Israel, for the first church, then He must be the lovely evening star for the church of today. And when the sun is gone, when everything is gone, over in the night time, I've been out in the woods by myself praying, over in the dark night, way away from folks. And I'd see in the darkest part of the night that lonely star. It would hold its post of duty. When the moon could do no more, that star was still holding its post of duty. So then, let's just close our eyes, lift our hands up. Let's believe that He's our God tonight. Make Him a personal God, folks. Let Him be your God. Brother Pike loves you. I'm your pastor. I wouldn't lie to you, so help me God, I wouldn't. I try my best not to. I'd rather die than lie to you or mislead you. But see, your confidence is not in Brother Pike, because I'm a human being like you are. And the Bible said, we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. But your confidence is in Christ, even the Holy Spirit, through the name of His lovely Son, Jesus. I'm the helper of your faith. Follow me as I follow Christ. Place confidence in the Christ that's in my life according to the measure that you see. Look at me as bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, to place confidence. Paul said, in that it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And let me do you the same way. The same way. Let's be real, genuine Christians. Let's be like the early church and watch health and healing and power and deliverance and wisdom return to the church and everybody around the nation and around the world literally be shook up and say, my God, what has them people got? What are they doing? Not somebody that's called a hole in His church that is just like all the other churches, sad to say. But I mean really receiving God, worshiping the Spirit of holiness, who is God, in the Spirit of holiness, which He has placed within our heart. For God seeketh such to worship Him even in spirit and in truth. Father God of heaven, as we lift our hands up tonight, out of all people that is here in this building and anywhere in the world today, I would be the least of all of them and less than nothing. And I, Heavenly Father, would have less right than any living human being that has lived or is living or that shall ever live. Less right to call on your name, to ask your help, and to ask your forgiveness of sins. But Father, you said if we're forgiven much, we love much. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you forgive my brother's sister's sins. You said whosoever sins that we remitted will be remitted, and whosoever sins we retain will be retained, and whatsoever we bless would be blessed, whatsoever we curse would be cursed. Through the name of Jesus, I remit these people's sins as believers. All of those that believe, I remit their sins in the name of Jesus, that in the day of judgment their sins be not found, but all be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And everyone that believes that we have the power to do that through your lovely name, Jesus, we remit their sins. And we bless these people physically, spiritually, naturally, according to your will. We bless them according to their faith and confidence in the Christ, in His name, to His service. Unite them as a great family. Help them to be together to love one another. Father, keep them safe from the world. Jesus said, I do not pray for the world, Father, but for these that Thou hast given me, even all. Lord, and we've lost none of them, saving the son of perdition, which was your foreordination, Father. Bless these. Bring them unto life eternal. Let them be filled with your eternal life tonight, your spirit tonight, even now, that they be the sons and daughters of God. Watch over them. Forgive me, Father. Lord, if there's any place in your great heart, your great mind for forgiveness for me, consider me, my wife, my family, O God, our loved ones. I ask you to do that. Consider Brother John's tonight. Lord, and his people in India, and all of our lovely children there that we've won to God, and all of those people in India, dear God, let us also win them as children of God. Let us tell them of the loving kindness of Jesus, and all around the world, let us be, Father. Be with us tonight. Give us that great zeal. Let us not leave the service tonight without this thought in mind, Father. And that is to be perfect before Thee, to be unspotted from the world, to feed the hungry. Lord, to take those that are needy into our house, to clothe them. Let our light be this way. Help this to be our life, our heart. Not just a hobby or a sideline with us, Father. But let this be a life with us. This is a life, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Heal the people. Make them well. Even tonight. Move the tension. Drive back evil spirits. Fill them with your presence and the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Move the fears and frustration. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together. Once more. Let's just sing this chorus. This chorus comes to my mind. I think the Lord wants to sing this chorus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing of His love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Can you sing one more time, man? Let us give all the glory to Jesus, to sing about His love, to sing about His love. Let us give all the glory to Jesus.
of His wonderful.
Sing one more time.
And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love.
Can you lift your hands up again now? With your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, are you sure that tonight everything's right with you and Jesus? What if you go home tonight and you lay down and the Lord called you? What if He called you? What if this is the night that He called you? Maybe this is the night. What if it is the night? Are you sure that if this is the night, that everything's all right, that you're ready? You don't have to ask Him for another day. You don't have to say, Jesus, is something I forgot. Or, as the song said, I'm leaving behind an unfinished task. You don't have to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I didn't quite do that just exactly right for the last few months. And I'd like to have a little more time to rearrange it and bring it back, you know, into a little different light. Are you sure that you're ready right now? That you can just say tonight, if death comes around, you can just say, Jesus, everything's right. Father, I've done everything to the best of my ability, though, to the way that I believed in my heart would be pleasing to Thee. And I've not tried to manipulate, cut corners, or do anything contrary, but to the best of my understanding by Your word and the best of my understanding as to Your desire, I've done it, Lord. I've done it. So then I don't have to ask You for another minute. You know, if You're ready, then we're ready. Are you sure? The Bible said to them that love His appearing. Tonight, if He was coming in the clouds of heaven, would you love His appearing? Could you say, come, Lord Jesus, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Or would you say, oh my God, I'm not sure that I'm right. Oh my God. Lord, help me. Let me pray. Let me fast. Let me do something. Or can you solely, confidently feel that you've done the best and that you're going to do the best if He spares you until that time does come? Or confidently say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. All of my confidence is in Your righteousness. All of my confidence is in Your virtue and Your merits and Your goodness. Can you do that, folks? If you can't do that, you're not ready. You're not ready. See, because you're saved by faith. And if you can't believe that, then you don't have the faith to make the translation. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. I'm going to ask Brother Zimmerman to come up here as we go to dismiss tonight. Our brother from Pennsylvania. I want you to just lift your hands, close your eyes, reverence the Lord. Be serious, folks. You say, I'm young, Brother Pike. I know. We've had numbers of young boys that's went out, and some of the older people that could have gone out is still living and happy today, while their young lives have been cut off. Quick, short, 18, 20 years old. The elderly people that should have died before them is still living and happy and serving God. You don't know, folks, when it's going to be you. You better keep your heart pure. The pure in heart shall see God. The wicked shall not see when that good cometh. That's what's going to cause them to be lost at the translation. At the translation, when God translates the church, the wicked shall not see it.
but the righteous shall see it and be gone. They'll look for them, but they won't be there. While our brother Zimmerman comes to pray tonight, let me encourage you to surrender your heart to God, to love the Lord with all of your heart, to think on Jesus.